Beloved, we're going to start making our way back to Matthew this morning. We're going to get there by way of the prophet Malachi. Malachi serves, I think, as a fitting transition, really, from the season that we've been in as a church, remembering our first love, you know, returning to our first love, back to the exposition of the Gospel of Matthew. And Malachi is an amazing book. Malachi prophesied around 400 BC or so, 450 BC or so in Israel. And he was one of the last prophets before the 400 year silence in divine revelation between the Old Testament and the birth of Jesus Christ. The Israelites had returned from their Babylonian exile that they were in because of their idolatry. The temple in Jerusalem and Jerusalem itself had been rebuilt. And the people of Israel were going about their lives. And yet, the people had not learned their lesson from the exile. They questioned God's love. They failed to give Him honor as they ought to give Him honor. They were careless in worship. They offered to God worthless offerings, rejected His truth. They were disobedient to their covenant with God. They were faithless toward God. They were faithless towards one another. They ignored the commands of God and they treated His grace with contempt. And to this rebellious people, God sent His messenger. It's a message to a people who are identified in the large context as the people of God, but not all of them were truly believers, as this book will show. As a nation, they'd been recipients of great grace from God, but still they had forgotten His favor and what it meant to be the covenant people of God. And so Malachi, speaking for God, on behalf of God, brings a series of accusations and indictments against the nation that demonstrates how far they had fallen and their desperate need for renewal and revival. And what we're going to do as we study through this prophecy from Malachi is to hear these accusations, these rightful accusations that Malachi brings against Israel. We're going to consider them in our context, think about them in our modern context, and then my desire for us is to let them serve as positive exhortations for us that we might not fall away from God ourselves or return to where we've been. So I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Malachi chapter 1. And I think you'll see that as old as this book is, it sounds distinctly modern. Stand with me. Let's read it. Malachi chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We're going to read the entirety of chapter 1 together this morning. The oracle, or the burden, of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down. And they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now, entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there was one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick. And this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand? Says the Lord. Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a great king. You deserve worship befitting a great king, the greatest of kings. Your name is to be renowned throughout all of the creation. You are God, and you are worthy of praise, and you have made us, and you have redeemed us, and you have given us the grace of God in Christ Jesus, so that we might worship you and esteem you and love you and delight in you and honor you as you deserve. No, God, it is the desire of our heart to bless you, to worship you, and to magnify your holy name in this earth. God, I pray that you will move in our midst this morning. Move in our midst as we look at your word together. Father, bring our hearts under conviction. Bring our minds into subjection. Bring our emotions, Father God, into submission to you. Make us, Father, to desire to hear your truth faithfully, accurately proclaimed. And let us feel the weight of your word. I pray that your word, Father, would have the weight in us that it deserves. To that end, Lord God, I recognize how absolutely insufficient I am for this. I realize my weakness. God, I'm praying you will empty me of myself. God, I'm praying you will empty me of any human wisdom. I'm praying you will empty me of reliance upon my own intellect or my strength, which is nothing. God, I pray that you would make me to be entirely dependent upon you. I pray that you will grant me the unction of your spirit. I pray that you will put a guard upon my lips. I pray that the words that I speak would be words ordained by you. I pray, Father God, that you would master me for the sake of your glory and for the sake of your church here gathered. May your presence and your power and your grace permeate our presence as we sit before your word. God, I pray that we will receive these words from you as they are, the words of God and not the words of a mere man. God, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy to receive all honor. You're worthy of our affection. God, receive it now as we worship you in the preaching of your word. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read verse 1 again. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Beloved, I'm going to do something today that I don't normally do. I'm going to preach today from 8 words. Doesn't mean the sermon's going to be shorter. 8 words. 8 words that set the foundation for the rest of this book. And those 8 words are this: the oracle of the word of the Lord. The oracle of the word of the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning regarding the burden of the ministry of the Word of God. In fact, I want to do that because that's what the word that is translated as oracle in your Bibles, if you have an ESV, really means. It means burden. It's the Hebrew word masah. It means a burden, a weighty thing, a load, a thing that is lifted up and borne and carried with great effort. That's what that word means. I want to preach to you today about the weightiness of bearing and of carrying and of preaching the Word of God, the weight of the ministry of the Word. Malachi begins this prophecy by emphasizing that this message that he's preaching is not something that he carried lightly. That it's not something that he preached lightly, and it wasn't something that was to be received lightly. It was a weighty word from God. Now, a moment for a disclaimer. I realize, I am fully aware that in preaching a message like this, that there's a sense in which this message could sound self-serving. I've struggled with that thought. I've struggled with even preaching this to you for that very reason. If I stand up here and I say these things, I don't want people to be sitting out there thinking, well, my job is really hard. My job's really tough. You should feel sorry for me. You should affirm me. And I hope, I pray, I trust that you know me better than that. I trust that you do. My desire today is not for you to like feel sorry for me. It's not it. My desire for us today is that we would have a greater understanding, a greater appreciation, a deeper realization of the momentous and the meaningful thing that we do every week as a people when we gather to hear the Word of God preached. This is not a small thing. I want you to understand the weightiness and the gravity of both the message and the moment. Okay? That's the heart behind this message. Beloved, the burden, the weight, the gravity, the significance of the ministry of the word of the Lord is of great importance and eternal consequence. This is not just filler. Okay? This is not just part of a well-rounded worship service. This preaching of the Word of God. This is not just the thing you're supposed to do if you're in a church. The preaching of the Word of the Lord is divine truth coming through a human personality. It's God speaking to His people. That's what this is. It's God speaking to His people. You may not like the personality. Sorry. But this is God speaking to His people. That's what we're doing here. The Old Testament prophets, the apostles in the New Testament, every faithful preacher in this age, he realizes that this calling to carry the word of the Lord, it's not a calling to entertain people. It's not. It's not a calling to tickle people's ears. It's not a calling to make people necessarily feel good about themselves. That's not it. The faithful preacher knows that before he is anything else, he's God's ambassador. He's God's messenger. He's God's herald sent to preach to immortal, eternity-bound souls. That's what you are. Immortal, eternally bound souls. And the faithful preacher does it on behalf of God Almighty and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The faithful preacher is a man who's called by God, who is sent by God with a message from God to speak on behalf of God, for the glory of God, and with eternal consequences for everybody who hears. It's not a trifling thing. The calling to carry the burden of the word of the Lord is not inconsequential. It's not insignificant, and it's not to be regarded lightly. It's not. If a doctor messes up in an operating room, people die in a temporal sense. If a preacher is not faithful to preach the word of God faithfully and accurately and honestly without regard for how people receive him, if he's not faithful to preach the word of God as it's been given to him by God, people die eternally. It's substantial. It's weighty. It's significant. Jeremiah got it. Over in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, he said, if I say, I will not mention him, speaking of God, or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. I have to preach or I'm going to explode. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Amos got it. He said, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Look, when a lion roars, you get scared. God has spoken. How can I not preach? That's what Amos is saying. Paul got it. He said, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. I have to do this. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. It was the burden of the word of the Lord that made Peter and John stand against their persecutors in Jerusalem. They called them and charged them, Acts 4, starting in verse 18, not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You may think we ought to listen to you. We're going to listen to God. You may not like that. We don't have a choice. That's what he's saying. That's what they were saying. Beloved, that's the burden of every faithful prophet in the Old Testament, of every apostle in the New, and every faithful preacher in this age. The weightiness, the importance, the seriousness, the gravity of preaching the Word of God. So we're going to consider this morning the burden of the Word of the Lord. And I want us to consider together and reflect on and feel together the weight of the ministry of the Word so that we'll value it like we should. The ministry of the Word of God is weighty. And it's weighty, number one, because preachers deal with the word of the Lord. It's weighty because preachers deal with the word of the Lord. This prophecy that Malachi had been chosen by God to deliver, listen, this was not the product of his own intellect. It wasn't the product of his own wisdom. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't as if Malachi was looking around and looking at the nation of Israel and evaluating their current condition and the culture and trying to come up with some helpful suggestions for moral improvement and better living. It's not like Malachi had gone door to door with a survey of what people were looking for in a sermon. He hadn't done a demographic survey to figure out what questions people were most asking and then crafting a sermon so that he could answer those questions. It's not it at all. God gave to him a message for the people of Israel, and his job was to deliver that message faithfully and accurately and regardless of the response. Malachi did not have freedom to tamper with the message. Malachi did not have freedom to tone down the message or make it more acceptable or flavor it with cool human wisdom. He didn't have that. Malachi simply received God's message, and it's that message that Malachi was obligated to proclaim, not his personal opinions or his thoughts. And that's true of every faithful preacher who preaches with the realization that he's dealing with the very word of God. The burden, the weight of the word of the Lord is to deliver the truth of God, the word of God, faithfully and properly. That's why Paul would write over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this. This is how one should regard us. Starting in verse 1. As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful. Beloved, it's not the calling of the preacher to attempt to be cool or creative. It's not it. To try to be profound and impressive. To try to turn a phrase so everybody thinks you're so smart and cool and intellectual. It's not it. The job of the preacher is just to be a faithful deliverer of the word of God, a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. The burden of the word of the Lord demands that we, that preachers, handle God's word with reverence. Not casualness. You don't joke about the word of God. With reverence. With accuracy. And with a determined pursuit of the right understanding of God's word by the grace of His Holy Spirit. You're a slave, if you're a preacher, a faithful preacher, to the Word of God. The Word of God is not your slave. You're a slave to the Word. You serve the Word, not the other way around. I want you to think about what it's like. To think about what it's like to sit in a study and to be praying and to realize you're not dealing with, you know, American history. You're not teaching calculus to a bunch of high school students, half of whom will probably forget it. 3/4. 9/10. You deal with the very word of God. A word that, Gretchen already read this, I'll read it again. A word that 2 Timothy 3:16 says is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and for training in righteousness. You're dealing with something that's a lot more dangerous than a Glock. It's a pistol, if you don't know. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "My word is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." You're dealing with the word of God. It's a word that brings life. It's the word of truth. It's the word of God's power. And you can't take that lightly. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, again, Gretch read this. You've got to stop doing that. Just kidding. The word of the Lord, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Faithful preacher, he doesn't get his messages from a book. He doesn't go see what's the latest thing that Piper or Batterson or anybody else preached on and then take their stuff and make it his own and preach it. That man's not faithful. The faithful preacher wrestles with the word of God. And it's weighty and it's significant and it's important. You know why? Because he knows he's not playing games. And he takes serious the command that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 when he said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Rightly handling it, rightly dividing it, rightly applying it, rightly interpreting it. That's the weight. That's the burden of the word of the Lord, not to mention even the preaching of it. Beloved, faithful preachers, they realize, look, I've got to be faithful to preach this because that's what God made me for. That's why I exist. They realize I've got to seek, I've got to have, I've got to feel the weight of the word of God myself first. I got to know personally the realities of repentance and faith, the application of the word of God to my own soul, the conviction of the word of God myself before I can ever stand and preach the word of God with full conviction. That's not a light thing. It's not an easy thing, in fact, to stand before people and deliver a message that you believe God gave to you. It's no easy thing to stand and preach, praying earnestly, God, give me wisdom. God, give me strength, give me clarity, give me the unction of your spirit, give me power. God, make me compassionate but firm. Make me to preach grace but responsibility. Balance rebuke and encouragement, reproof and exhortation. Balance forgiveness and the call for faithfulness. The greatness of your love with the awesomeness of your holiness. Show me how to serve you wisely for the sake of your glory and for the sake of these souls. God, show me. It's not light. It's not a small thing. It's a weight that is born with a longing desire for the word of God to have its full work in your soul and in your home and in your life. And as weighty as it is, thank God it's not paralyzing. On the contrary, Paul wrote, we're not like so many peddlers of God's word. This is 2 Corinthians 2:17. But as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And then in chapter 4, starting in verse 1, he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Are you tempted to sometimes? Yeah, you are. Do you grieve sometimes over the reception of the word of God or seeming lack of it? Yes, you do. But you still preach knowing that even though this is a divine human thing, you're standing as the mouthpiece of Christ. When you preach a prayed over, studied proclamation of God's truth in the sight of God, you're speaking in the name of God and for God. That's not light. It's not light. People think sometimes it's got to be so hard to be like the press secretary for the president. Let me tell you something. That job would be a piece of cake. J.I. Packer says, a true sermon's an act of God. It's not a mere performance by man. In real preaching, the speaker is the servant of the word, and God speaks and works by the word through his servant's lips. The sermon is God's ordained means of speaking and working. So the issue is not the smoothness or the slickness of the preacher, his flair or his looks, thank God, or his style. It's his faithfulness to the truth of the word. His faithfulness to proclaim it as it is. My job is to deliver to you what has been delivered to me under the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's it. And I want to preach the words that God gives me. And not try to sound unnecessarily brilliant or eloquent or anything else. I just want to preach the words that God gives me because it's those words that hold true power. I want to speak his words alone. I mean it. You know, that's not just something. When I pray for God to empty me of myself and any reliance on my wisdom and fill me with his spirit and use me as an instrument to preach his word, I mean it. I'm not just saying that. That's not just the shtick. The ministry of the word of God is a weight. You got to feel it and you got to know it and you got to carry it. In fact, I love what Spurgeon said. I don't love it. It's sobering. He said, he that does not find his ministry a burden now will find it a burden hereafter, which will sink him lower than the lowest hell. A ministry that never burdens the heart and the conscience in this life will be like a millstone about a man's neck in the world to come. He's right. The ministry of the word, it's a weighty thing. It's a weighty thing because it's the word of God. Number two, it is a weighty thing, this ministry of the word of God. It's a burden because of its content. Its content. Think about the stuff that Malachi had to preach. Think about the things that Malachi had to preach, the weighty truth he'd been given to deliver. He confronts Israel's doubts about God's love and faithfulness. He confronts their lack of honor and fear of the Lord. He accuses them of careless and worthless worship. And he accuses them of offering polluted sacrifices with careless hearts. He confronts the failures of the priests, the people's indifference to the truth and to righteousness. He calls them out for faithlessness to God's covenant, for faithlessness in their marriages, for faithlessness with their children, for robbing God of the tithe, for robbing God of the glory of pouring out his blessing on them. He warns them of the judgment that's going to consume the unrighteous. He calls on every one of his hearers to repent before the day of the Lord. Beloved, those are hard words. Those are hard, truthful words that Malachi is called to preach. You can bet Malachi was not universally loved. You can bet the people hated him for his message. He ran the risk of being called inflexible and intolerant, of placing unreasonable demands upon the people. But what he preached was the truth. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, the ministry of the Word of God is difficult precisely because it's the truth. That's why. And it's truth that's unavoidable. And it's truth which demands a response. True and faithful preachers are called to deal with eternal realities, the very thing that men would like to forget. True and faithful preachers are called to expose sin and to exalt God's holiness. To declare God's right to judge. To proclaim man's powerlessness to save himself. To proclaim the gospel. The gospel truth about Christ. To preach of heaven and hell and sin and judgment. Righteousness and rebellion. Blessing and cursing. The commandments of God. The pursuit of holiness and righteousness. Law and grace. The ministry of the word is weighty for the very fact that the gospel, the hallmark, the underpinning, the foundation of every faithful pastor's preaching is itself designed to offend people. Really? I get to preach that? The gospel that dethrones man and enthrones Christ over everything. A message that people consider foolish. That's why Paul says what he does. Again, a passage that Gretchen read this morning. I may just in the future have her stand up here and read whatever passage it is that I'm going to reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. The word of the cross is folly. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who's wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That's not complimentary. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. How's your self-esteem? God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Oh, there's more. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. Because of what he's done, not what you've done. Who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The weight of preaching the word of God is knowing that you preach a message that is offensive to everybody who hears it and will only be received by a remnant. The ministry of the Word of God is a serious and a weighty thing. Because of the content of it and because of the increasing intolerance to preaching. How many times do we hear people say, I really like that preacher. He's not preachy. He's not doing his job. I really like that message because it's not preachy. I'm sure you do. If a preacher's not preachy, that preacher ought to go sell cars or something, or, you know, sell insurance, or, you know, go fishing. Because Paul wrote to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, starting in 1, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God, this is before God, and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. You're going to be judged. And by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time's coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And we are living in that day right now. People love storytellers. They love joke tellers. Nobody ever pickets Tim Hawkins concerts. Nobody. They love entertainers. They love guys that share. Friendly fireside chats, spiritual platitudes, motivational speakers, vague religious sentiments. They like sound bites and movie clips and experiences. Men who preach the truth, they're awfully falsely accused of being narrow and arrogant and bigoted and unkind and hard and ungracious, even unpatriotic. Dude, I served in the Navy. Unpatriotic. Because they mention sins, the sins of their nation. Especially by people that don't even know him and have no regard for God's word. Can I tell you something? Here's the truth. Here's a little window into the reality of the burden of the word of the Lord. People that don't even know me, with whom I have never had a conversation in my life, who know me by name and could point me out of a crowd, but I could not do the same with them, they still manage to hate me because of what they think I must believe or teach or say. They know nothing about me. I'm not saying that so you're like, oh, poor Nick. That's not what I'm just telling you, that's the facts. The burden of the word of the Lord is not for men that are faint of heart or of weak character or wavering conviction who need coddling and whose egos need stroke. If you need that, go be a motivational speaker, Tony Robbins' disciple. I don't care. It's for people that know, you know what? I'm nothing in myself and I'm okay with that. Christ is everything. I'm willing to lose everything for Christ. Reputation, name, so what? Men who care nothing for their own fame, but only for the fame of Christ. Men that are about the big picture and not themselves. That's the reason Paul uses the analogy of a soldier for a faithful preacher. Sir, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. 2 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4. That's part of the burden of the word of the Lord. It may not be popular to preach the content of the message, but you know what? It's the only message that saves. That's it. We've got the most powerful, only soul-delivering, only life-giving, soul-transforming, God-magnifying, and Christ-exalting message in the whole world, Christ and Him crucified, and even if everybody doesn't readily receive it, it doesn't matter. You preach anyway, and you do it as an act of faith, trusting the Holy Spirit to take the words The words that we labor to bring to your ears and to move it from your ears to your heart. I can labor all day long to bring the word of God to your ears, but it's the Spirit of God who takes that word from your ears to your heart. That's an act of faith when I preach. And just because there might be another message that would be more readily received, it doesn't matter. It's not an option. Third, I want you to see that the ministry of the word is weighty because of its consequences. I hinted at this earlier, but listen. Preaching's deadly serious business. This is serious. Spurgeon said, life, death, hell, and worlds unknown may hang on the preaching and the hearing of a sermon. It's definitely true of this message that Malachi preached. There were great consequences that attended the preaching of this message and the receiving of this message that God had given to him. By the ministry of the word, the burden of the word of the Lord, God says to the people through Malachi, just look at this, Malachi starting in chapter 3 and verse 18. Look what he says. As a result of this preaching, as a result of this message, he says, then once more you shall see the distinction, the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. He's saying through Malachi, there's going to be eternal consequences for this message. Eternity is at stake. And the ministry of the word of the Lord is a burden for that very reason. It's a heaviness. It's a weight. It bears gravity for that very reason. Any pastor or preacher who doesn't consider that eternal life is at stake in his preaching and in his teaching or in his counseling is a fool. And he lacks the fear of the Lord. Eternal joy in the kingdom of God and in Christ is, or eternal misery in hell is at stake. That makes the ministry of the word of the Lord a weighty thing. Paul understood it well. With great solemnity, he wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we're the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, we're a fragrance from death to death. To those that won't receive the truth, we are the fragrance of death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? It's a sobering thing, beloved, to realize that every proclamation of the gospel by the preacher either draws souls towards eternal life in Christ and toward holiness and submission to Jesus as Lord, or it confirms them. Toward hell. It confirms them in sin and rebellion toward Christ, leading to the discipline of God. It softens hearts, or it hardens them. It brings men upward toward Jesus, or it justifies God in consigning them to hell. It's a weight to preach the word of God knowing that. I've heard it said some people think I'm angry when I preach. Beloved, that's not anger. It's passion for your souls. It's not fury at you. It's fierceness for you. I preach with a very real awareness, okay, all the time, That sin is all around us and it's in us. And it would make our husbands hate their wives. And it would make our wives despise their husbands. And it would make children rebels and haters toward their parents. It would make us all thieves, all sexually immoral, all homosexuals, all idolaters, all evil, all covetousness, all full of envy or murderers. It would make us gossips and slanderers and haters of God and haughty and boastful and foolish and faithless and heartless and ruthless. Sin is everywhere around us. And it's only defeated by the earnest preaching of the Word of God. I am not preaching with anger. I'm preaching with a holy longing and a desperate zeal, knowing that unless you receive the words of God that I preach mixed with faith in your heart, and you submit to these words that I preach, if they're faithful and accurate and true, the words that I say on God's behalf will stand against you to condemn you on the day of judgment, or will bring the discipline of God upon you rather than being the instrument of God for your salvation and your sanctification. I preach every time I preach with the awareness that it's not only the unsaved that will be judged for their unbelief, but every Christian will be judged for how he receives the truth. And the way the truth is revealed and the way is in the way that you live, for how you live to the glory of Christ. And I am laboring. To present you holy to the Lord. To use Paul's words, I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. So please believe me, beloved, this is not anger. This is earnestness and an intensity born of the realization that the fullness of blessing is found in obedience to the word of God alone. And it's the realization that every single time I preach, I'm setting before you life and death, cursing and blessing. And it's a yearning from the depth of my soul, from the core of my being, for you to choose life. Choose it. It's not anger. It's urgency. Because your response to my preaching will either be life-giving or death-confirming, praiseworthy or worthy of discipline. And I earnestly, longingly desire that the ministry of the word that I perform among you would be the fragrance of life for you. It's a weighty thing to think about those consequences all the time. Fourth, it's weighty because of the day of accounting that awaits both the preacher and the hearer. If you work anywhere, you have a performance review, you know? You do stuff and you have a performance review by your boss. But your boss isn't omniscient. Your boss isn't utterly holy. Your boss isn't God, even if he thinks he is. Every steward gives an account for their stewardship. It's especially true of the preacher. Every word I've ever spoken, speaking for God. Every sermon that I've prepared, everything that I've spoken is open to the searching gaze of God's judgment. Like James says over in James chapter 3 and verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Every time I stand to preach, I'm aware that my words, I'm not just speaking them into the air. I can't just speak my words carelessly. Because God hears every word I speak on his behalf. And every word I speak, its purpose, its intent, whether it serves the gospel, whether it serves, you know, God's glory, or whether it seeks to promote me, they are all recorded before God. It's a heavy thing to know that. My preaching is not a performance for you to evaluate. It's a stewardship that's going to be thoroughly examined by God. I don't take that lightly. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. It's a terrifying thought sometimes. Terrifying. And yet, it's not just the preacher that will give account. Beloved, you will too. You will. The writer of Hebrews warns us, you must pay closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Pay closer attention to what you've heard, lest you drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels, this is Hebrews 2, starting in verse 1, since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Every sermon you've heard, every word of God that you have sat under, every advantage that you've been given, you're going to answer for everything that you've heard, whether you heard it with diligent attention or with carelessness. And the word that you hear is going to judge you on the last day. So listen as those that are going to give an account for their hearing and their obeying. It's a day of accounting coming. And I preach with that awareness all the time. And I pray that you'd listen with that awareness. Last, let me close with this thought. Though this burden is the preacher's to bear, you either add to it or you help the pastor to bear the burden by your response to it. You either add to the burden or you help bear it. Beloved, again, I know this can sound self-serving, so I'm sorry that it kind of sounds that way. It's not my heart. But if this book is really the Word of God, and if the preaching of the gospel is to those who are called the power of God unto salvation, then there's no greater blessing and privilege in this world and of having a man sent from God to declare to you fully the burden of the word of the Lord. That's the truth. And how you receive it is either going to add to it or help bear it. How do you add to it? This is how you add to the burden of the word of the Lord. You add to the burden of the word of the Lord when you sit under it week after week and determine to never let it penetrate your heart. Just pitchfork it to everybody else. You listen to it and you hear it and you apply it to everybody else but yourself. You add to the burden when you sit and you hear it well enough, but it's never mixed with faith. And it never finds actual expression in your life. You know? It doesn't change who you are. You add to the burden in that way. You add to the burden when you're casual about whether you hear the word of God preached or not. You just take it or leave it. I'll be there sometimes, but sometimes I'm not going to be there. It just depends. My priorities shift depending on what's going on. Listen to me. The most important thing you need to hear, having been created by the Almighty God, is the voice of Almighty God. That's it. It's not rocket science, man. Come on. You add to the burden when you fuss and you fidget and you get distracted during the preaching and the way you tune in and out or the way that you hear the preacher say something and then you go off on a massive tangent for the rest of the time that he's preaching, thinking that this massive tangent that's been thrown into your mind is of more worth to listen to than the preaching of the Word of God that's been prayed and slaved over before the living God all week long. Wish I had that gift. How much easier it would be to just get up here and go, all right, here's my tangent for the day. How goofy is that? It's goofy. You add to the burden by hearing the word of the Lord and acting as if it's sort of an option to be considered amongst a bunch of others rather than a command to be obeyed. When you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of it. And you add to the burden of the word of the Lord when you are so undiscerning as to consider all preachers equally faithful and every sermon from every source as equally true. That's the way that you make this burden nearly unbearable. How I thank God. How I praise God for you who helped me bear this burden of the word. Like Paul, I thank God constantly for this. And when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. You help the pastor bear the burden of the word of the Lord by receiving it well. I praise God for you who receive the word of God well, who receive the faithful preaching of the word of God from the pastor as what it is, the word of God, and not a suggestion or opinion, but the authoritative, binding, God magnifying, Christ exalting, obedience demanding, life giving word of God, which able to make you wise for salvation. I praise God for you people that make the preaching of the word of God, that you help to bear that burden with me. You help the pastor bear the burden by receiving it well. And the way you receive it well is this. Let me just give you five ways quick of how you receive the word of God well. Just five ways real quick. You receive the word of God well when you come expecting that God's going to meet with his people in preaching. When you come expectantly. When you come listening for the voice and for the message of God as it's revealed in his word, that's how you receive the, that's one of the ways in which you receive the word of God well. That's the first way. You come expectantly. Number two, you receive the word of God well when you come with a heart that's prepared. Some people, the preparation for the preaching, for hearing the preaching of the word of God is turning to the passage when the pastor says, open up to Malachi. That's not preparation. You prepare prior to the service, ideally the night before, by praying and confessing sin and preparing your heart to receive God's word. And then in the morning when you get up, praying for the public worship and the public proclamation of the preaching of God's word. You receive the word of God well when you've got a mind that's alert. When you discipline your mind to be attentive. When you discipline your mind to stay focused, not let it wander, not let it get distracted when you worship, to lock in and stay focused. Fourth, you receive the word of God well when you receive it with a responsive heart. Phil Ryken says that through the inward ministry of the Holy Spirit, God uses his word to calm our fear, comfort our sorrow, disturb our conscience, expose our sin, proclaim God's grace, and reassure saints in their faith. And that these things are more than just brain functions. They're matters of the heart. He's right. And then fifth, don't worry, these will all be in the notes online in a moment if you don't get them all. Fifth, you receive the word of God well, and you have a life that's quick to respond to the truth. So that your life is a reflection of the sermons that you've heard. That's how you receive it well. You help bear the burden of the word of the Lord when you receive his word well. Beloved, you help bear the burden of the word of the Lord when you pray for your pastor. And don't pray that I wouldn't feel the weight of preaching or the weight of ministering the word of God. The day that I or any other preacher stops feeling the weight, stops feeling the gravity of declaring God's words, the day that I or anybody else needs to stop preaching. Instead, just pray. Pray that your pastor would feel fully the weight and the gravity and the burden of the word of the Lord, that I would be crushed to the dust, but that the Spirit of the Lord would sustain and strengthen me for the task. I want to feel the weight. You help bear the burden of the word of the Lord when you encourage your pastor to faithfulness and for faithfulness. When you seek to draw other people to hear the word of God truthfully and devotedly proclaimed. You help bear the burden of the word of the Lord when you partner with the faithful preacher in the work of his ministry. When you yourself pursue souls, when you yourself accurately and faithfully proclaim the word of God and you stand on it without wavering. And you help to bear the burden of the word of the Lord when you hold the preaching of God's word in high esteem. And you know it's the grace of God to have it. When you don't say foolish and disparaging things about the worth of preaching, but when you understand it to be the stewardship and the gift from God that it really is. Though the burden is the pastor's, the preacher's to bear, you either add to it, or you help the pastor to bear the burden by your response. And you hear the word burden. I'm saying the word burden. Understand something. It's a wonderful burden. It is. It's a wonderful burden. It's wonderful because I get to give to you the greatest treasure that the world's ever known. I get to preach to you the word of God. It's a wonderful joy to preach to you the word of God. It is. But it's heavy stuff. Caring and praying and laboring and preaching and trusting that God will move the treasure of his word into your heart and your mind and your soul. Again, I'm saying all these things this morning, not because I want you to feel sorry for me. I'm saying this because all of us need to be freshly affected with the truth that this is a momentous and a crucial and a significant and meaningful thing we do every week as a people when we gather to hear the Word of God preached. We need to remember the weightiness and the gravity of both the message and the moment. We need to grasp this, you and me, as those who will give an account before the Lord. I just want to close with this thought. I thought about this week. How wonderful. But how great it would be on the great day of days for us to all be kind of standing in line at the same time. What a great grace it would be if you and I together before the throne of God on the day of judgment could give an account to God with joy and not sorrow. What a great blessing it would be for me to be able to say, honestly, Lord, I faithfully and I accurately preach the word you gave to me. I preach the gospel without compromise. I preach the whole counsel of God. I exhorted, I rebuked, I reproved and corrected and admonished and instructed. I called to faith all your people in the power of your spirit, faithful to your word, for the renown and for the reward of Christ alone and for your eternal glory. Lord, I received the burden of the word of the Lord and I was honored to give myself to it. And how great it would be for you to speak next and say, Lord, I received your word with gladness. I received it with faith and repentance, with an eager mind and a humble heart. I delighted to hear your gospel preached without compromise. I desired to be corrected and edified. I was glad to be washed with the water of your word. I sought to be obedient to your truth and to be submitted to your will. Lord, I gladly received the word of God and I was thankful to have it. That's my heart for us. And it's my heart behind preaching this message. And I pray that you will receive these words as they're meant. Exhortation from God. And not the words of man. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I praise you, Lord, because you're faithful, because you're good, because you're perfect in all of your ways, because you're gracious beyond anyone we have ever known. I praise you because you've given to us your word. I praise you, Lord, that you saved me and that you called me to preach your truth. And I praise you, Father, that you have saved your people and called them to hear and respond to your truth. God, my prayer, Lord, is just that the words that have been spoken today would not fall on fallow ground, but on hearts that have been stirred up by your Spirit to receive your truth. And I pray, Lord, that the response to your word preached today would be to the praise and the glory of your name alone. Freshly affect our hearts, Lord, with the gravity of the ministry of the Word of God and what it means. Fill our hearts with thankfulness that you would give us your truth like you do. Lord, I love you. I trust you and I praise you for your faithfulness. Amen.